morning. I was thinking about that first song we sang, Marching to Zion. Looking forward to my trip on Tuesday, Lord willing, go to Israel. But I think I told this story before, but I've been babysitting the whole entire time, like almost a month's worth of babysitting. Rachel was having a baby, and I was doing all the school with the kids and stuff, and I just really wanted to go out and get some relief. Anyways, they told me I could go on a trip to Jerusalem if I wanted to. I could go on the train from Ashkelon to Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem is on top of the mountain, so obviously choo-choo trains don't go all the way up there. But it comes to the foot of the hill. And she told me, then you can take a bus to the old city, and you go wander around there and whatever, and come back same way. So, you know, at that time, Obama was really being a jerk and to the Jews and stuff. And there's one thing I hate being as a tourist. I don't know if anyone else feels like that. I hate being a tourist. It's like the worst thing. And what was kind of cool is I didn't have to use my English very much because in Ashkelon, a lot of people speak Spanish. There's actually a prophecy that talks about that in the Bible about how people from Spain are going to live in Ashkelon area. But anyways, so I could speak Spanish and kind of fake that I wasn't a tourist. But so we're going on the choo-choo train, get close and trying to find out how to get to the old city. And I started talking to the soldier for a while, sitting next to me, and he told me, "Oh, I'm going to walk up there. You can just follow me." And so I thought, well, that'll work. You know, I've always, envisioned myself as some future Navy SEAL. You know, what he can do, I can do, you know, obviously. And I was like 20, early 20s and something. And that guy had a pack on, and it's a really steep walk from the train station, and it's several miles. That guy left me in the dust. I didn't have anything on me. I mean, nothing. Just my clothes, my cell phone. That guy just marched up that thing. I'm singing, I'm marching to Zion, but not like him. it's quite the experience. Okay, so let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:17. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of what? Sincerity." Sincerity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would work in this message in my life. Just help us to be sincere and to be real relationship with you, I pray. And the world would see that we're real. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you guys ever try to sell something, maybe on Facebook or Craigslist or whatever. Now, irritating is when you put your number out there, what is it that you're almost guaranteed to get? Like, first second you push send, you know? Ding-a-ling-a-ling! Or message, and it's like, there's this bot that, you know, saw it right away and start, "Oh, I'm really interested in your whatever, comma, slash, that," you know, it's just specific, heading right there, and just really irritating, especially if you're not used to selling stuff on Facebook and or Craigslist, and you think it's actually a real person, and then you start to talk into it, and you know, it really wants your phone number because it can't do this and can't do that, and just really trying to scam you. Those terrible, irritating bots. It's not a real person, just a computer program. I've been talking to some of the guys about this. I wasn't going to preach about, I wasn't going to throw this in here till the last minute, but it kind of fitted. So don't think I just made this message just to preach about this. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of recently, it's really been kind of going around, about that AI. It's called ChatGPT. It's pretty amazing, all the things it can do. I was playing around with it, and you can ask it. It's like Google, but instead of just sending you a link, it explains it all to you. Like, and it takes, I don't really know all the way how it works, but it takes a whole bunch of information that's out there in the internet via Wikipedia or Twitter and just all the things humans have said for a really long time. It kind of filters through it and kind of looks for patterns, and then when you look for something via that question or whatever, it gives you an answer based on the average of all the information that it sifted through. It's really good at making songs. For instance, I said, "Well, write me a song about the blood of Jesus." And it did. Just cranked one out real quick. You know, it took all the songs that have been written about probably the blood of Jesus and sifted through it looking for patterns. And yeah, it rhymed and it was pretty accurate. I mean, just because it was getting its information from a lot of Christians who wrote a lot of songs about the blood of Jesus, you know. So it was fairly accurate there. Had it write, not that prayer letter, but I said, well, I'm not the best writer, in case you've noticed. I said, write me a report about Christmas. Had a good Christmas. Had 4 baptisms in my church in Guatemala. Gave it some other details. And it just cranked out a really nice letter that's probably sifted through a whole bunch of hundreds of other missionaries' letters and stuff that's out there. And it sounded like a Baptist wrote it. It's just really impressive how accurate and, you know, well punctuated. And so if my letters ever get really long, you'll know. I won't use that, don't worry. I also tried out some of my past messages. I don't know if you noticed, I kind of have a trend with my messages. I take a principle that the world uses, like last week's was insurance, and explain that. And try to find some similarities. And I tried it with the message from last week about insurance and said there was no connection between insurance and grace. So apparently I'm smarter, a little bit smarter than that. But it did a pretty good one on the message a while ago about coming out. It really found a lot of similarities. I was pretty impressed. It looked like, you know, I had written it. But anyways, so that's the idea of kind of how it works. But I was thinking, you know, that's a lot like how religions work. You know, the title of the message is Real Relationship or Robotic Religion. And that's how that program works, how AIs work, for that matter. What's it called? Artificial intelligence. It takes man's ideas about God, man's desires, man's experiences, and mixes it all together and calls it religion. That's what basically religion is, just a mixture of our desires, our ideas of what we have about God, and our experience, and calls it religion. For instance, Muslims. Are Muslims, Muslims because they searched for the truth and they finally found it in Muhammad? Is that why all Muslims are Muslims? No, this guy actually confessed that he was possessed of a devil, started having these beliefs and started killing everyone else who didn't believe with him, and everyone kind of followed suit. Same thing with the Catholics. I mean, Catholics aren't Catholics because, you know, they searched for the truth and found it in Catholicism. No, they're Catholics because their mom and dad were Catholics and their great-grandparents were Catholics. And you go all the way back to the conquistadors and taking over Latin America and killing all the people who didn't agree with them. And that's how that religion is. Once you get a group of people to believe an idea, the rest of them kind of follow suit. I think I used this illustration before. I don't know if you guys remember the miracle in the Hudson when the airplane landed there in the Hudson River. People are getting out of the airplane and walking onto the wing and then just jumping in the water. I mean, it's 20 degrees outside. The water was really cold. And the first person, that's what he did because, you know, he'd probably seen movies where they blow up or something, figured he'd better get in the water quick. And the next person went and did exactly the same thing. And people just kept jumping into the water, freezing cold water, instead of just standing on the wing waiting for the barge that was coming. And finally, some Californian like, that's crazy, that's cold in there. And just stays put. And the rest of them just all stayed put. And finally, guys in the water kind of felt cold and dumb. And you know, it's called, you know, what is it called? The herd effect. You know, people just follow the guy in front of them. And that's how religions, once a group of people start believing this mixture that they came up with and they get a group together, peer pressure just kind of makes everyone else follow suit, just fall in line. But there's no real relationship with God. It's just a mix of traditions, rules, ideas, man's ideas woven into an algorithm called religion, just like artificial intelligence. It's fake. It's a scam. You ask them about God, and there ain't no personal message like us. We would say, you know, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. He lives, He lives. He walks with me and talks with me. It's not a personal message like that. What is it when you ask them about God? Tell me about your God. Oh, he's good. God is good. He, you know, no one's perfect, you know, but I'm doing the best I can, and you know, I think He's happy with me. It's nothing personal. Just this cookie cutter response that they shoot back at you, just like a scammer would. It's robotic. It's fake. It's artificial. But what is it that we have? Do we have a religion or do we have a relationship? I'm sure if anyone was out witnessing or talking with someone who isn't saved, you know, and they ask us, hey, you know what, I go to church. I go to church. My family's always gone to church. I got my religion. You know, you say you have the truth. I say I have the truth. What makes you different than me? I'm sure all of us would start waxing eloquently and as we've heard this before, and say, you know what? Difference between me and you is I have a relationship and you have a religion, you know, because we've heard that before. We heard that. It sounds good. And it's true. We do have a relationship. Let's look at Ephesians 2:12. Ephesians 2:12. Ephesians 2:12. Ephesians 2:12 says, and at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So now we do have a relationship if we're saved. The definition of relationship is how two or more people are connected. When we got saved, what happened? We got connected to God. How did we get connected to God? Through who? Come on, help me out, guys. We got connected to God through who? It says so right here. Jesus. All right, there we go. Just like you're connected to your sibling via who? Your parents, right? You're connected to them through your parents, or you're connected to your uncle through your dad or your mom or whatever. We get connected to God through Jesus now. There's now a connection. We're related now. But if you look in your family tree, you know, you think there's a lot of people that you're related to that you don't have much of a connection with, do you? I mean, you know, Yeah, I mean, you've heard about them. You know, you believe they exist out there somewhere. And your parents probably talk about them every once in a while. But you haven't ever heard of them. You might not even seen them before. There's no connection there. There's a relationship, but no connection. There's a lot of people in my life growing up that I used to be really close to, but I got married, they got married, moved away, they moved away, and we just kind of lost connection there. And it's really quite understandable. Nothing really wrong with that. It's just kind of what happens. But there's one relationship that this should never happen to, should it? One relationship that this should never happen to. Let's look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 37. Matthew 10, 37. Matthew 10, 37 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." You know, it doesn't say we're not supposed to love our wives or love our husbands or love our kids or love our mother or dad. It says, you know what, there's one thing that should never take that connection's place with God. There's never to be a relationship that takes the place of God, that takes that connection, takes the place of that connection. So look also in Matthew 22, 35. Matthew 22, 35. Matthew 22, 35. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." It's a really, really steep commandment there. God is the connection that we are never to let anything slip in, breaking that connection, taking its place. You know how it is when you maybe go to a family reunion, or maybe there's a wedding or a funeral maybe. All the family gets together and you see someone that you used to be really close with. You used to really talk a lot to when you were a kid and really used to hang out a lot with and had good times together. But maybe you moved away or they moved away and just kind of separated, went your own ways. And you come back and you see that person there at that event. And, oh, man, you know, just mind keeps thinking about all the things you guys used to do together. And you just go up to talk to that person, and there's just no connection anymore. You go there and talk and want to say and talk, but you know, you have a ton of kids. They have a ton of kids. It's just overwhelming. You don't know where to start, and there's not really time to figure out what transpired all those past years, and you just end up talking about the weather, end up just talking about trivial stuff, just cookie cutter phrases, cookie cutter questions, and cookie cutter responses, and just generic everything, and just like, that's not how we used to communicate. We used to be connected, and we'd share our, you know, hearts together and just really had some great conversations, but now you can't, there's just no connection anymore. And you kind of lie and break it away, say, oh, you know, this has just been great, you know, good to see you again. We need to get together again some more. It's just, we need to catch up, and it's been so good to see you, and man, it's just been so long, it's just so great, you know. And then we go back to whatever we actually really cared about, don't we? Just kind of go back into our grain of people that we actually do really care about still, and just kind of let that connection just stay there broken. How is it that we treat God, though? Come Sunday, come to church. First we get dressed, you know, all dressed up. Get our Bibles and everything. We come to church and, you know, we sit in the pew and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And, you know, listen to a message and, "Oh, ain't it true, ain't it true?" Have invitation, pray. You know, think, "Wow, I just really need to get close to God again, you know? Ah, it's just been great there in church. Just good times." And then we just leave church and go back to whatever we actually do care about. Is that how we treat God? You know, the world would see that. They would say, "What's the difference? That's religion. It's just a routine. You got your belief and you got your routine. I got my belief and I got my tradition. What's the difference? You say you have a relationship. I have a religion. Looks the same to me." Is there a connection? You know, our God isn't an artificial God. He's not some robot out there that just we can just, you know, when they're trying to scam us like they are on Craigslist or on Facebook, and it's like, "Oh, it's a scammer, you know, just shut it down, just don't even talk back to it." No, he's a, you know, I want to say a real person, you know what I mean. It's not, he's God, he's personal. How is it that we treat God? Is there a connection there? How is it that people that are in a relationship act, though? Remember when you were getting to know your wife or something? Remember those days? Getting in a relationship? How is it that we acted back then? What is it that we all wanted to do? Always wanted to be together. Remember Pastor Bond sitting there? And, of course, me and Sophie have known each other our whole lives and just never once talked. I remember very few times I ever talked to her, but people would joke and call us the opposite poles. Of course, I don't know why that doesn't make any sense. Opposites attract. But anyways, they call us that whenever one would come in the room, the other one would always leave. And you know, it started on a courtship and, you know, talk to Pastor Bond, and he's like, "You guys aren't going to believe this, but pretty soon you guys are going to be wanting to sit really close to each other." I mean, we're sitting on opposite sides of the living room at that time, you know, not even making eye contact. And like, "No, that ain't going to happen to us, you know." A couple of weeks later, it started happening. We started getting closer and closer and closer. But that's how people in a relationship want to be. They always want to be closer. Let's look at Luke 10. Luke 10:40. People in relationships always want to be close. Is that how we're acting? Luke 10:40. You know the story here about Mary and Martha here. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Mary was interested in knowing God more, knowing God better, being close to him. Maybe Martha was, I don't know, just trying to impress maybe, or maybe she just wanted to get things done. You know, I'm kind of that way. I'm a lot like Martha, always trying to make things happen and please God with what I get done and things. But that's not really what the Lord's interested in. He wants us to be close to him. And a lot of times I kind of get a little bit lonely since my dad died. And just like, you know, "Lord, who do I have around here anymore? It's not really anybody I'm really close to." And the thought hit me, you know, Ain't I good enough to be close to you? Don't you want to get close to me? That's a good point, Lord. But Mary wanted to be close. She was interested in the relationship. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:3. 2 Peter 3:3. Second Peter 3:3 says, we're going to read a little bit here, all the way to 14. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Second Peter 3:3. All right, now we're at 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack, according to his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless. So I read a lot here, but the last part of it, we see not the scoffers, but true Christians, what are they doing? They're looking forward to seeing their Savior. They're looking forward to seeing the day where, you know, this world's all going to burn up, and we're going to be able to be in a place that's perfect. That's what they're looking for. They're hoping for. They're wishing it comes sooner and sooner. People that are interested in a relationship with Christ are looking forward to his coming. You know, not just here, but several other passages. You know, that's their hope. Let's look in 1 John as well. 1 John 3. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that... No. 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. I was in 15. Okay. Sorry. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So they are looking forward to his coming. They're keeping themselves unspotted from the world because they're expecting him to come any time. They people that are in a relationship can't wait to be together again. Christ left, but he's coming back. And you know, it's always sin that keeps us from wanting to connect. Remember, Adam and Eve didn't want to connect with God there in the garden because of why? Their sin. Right? The last days, the Bible says, what are the people going to do? They're going to hide themselves in dens and caves and cry out for the rocks to do what? Fall on them. Because why? Their sin. Their sin, and they're embarrassed about their sin, and they see Jesus coming, and they don't, they didn't have a relationship, and they're not interested in a relationship, and they just want to be hidden from him. Sin's that way. It keeps us from connecting, even with each other. Why is it that we don't just go to our neighbor's house and just start connecting with them and acting like you know, they're part of our family? Because we're scared. We don't know what they are like. Don't know what who they are or what they've done, and don't really want to endanger our kids or whatever. And it's because of sin has always been driving, corroding the contacts there, and not letting us make contact, even with each other, especially not with God. So people, if we are in a relationship with God, there should be a desire to want to connect with Him. There should be a desire to be together with Him. It's another thing that people that are in a relationship do. They put their needs and wants last. Let's look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 9. It's the Lord's Prayer here. Matthew 6, 9. Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then what does it say? Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this day our daily bread. First it's, Lord, I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to come. And then, you know, comes my needs, comes my wants. But first, Lord, what you want to do. Because we're in a relationship, and what I want your will first. I want your wants and your desires to be above mine. Let's look here in Romans 12:2 as well. Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We tell our body, what you want really isn't important. What God's will comes first to me. That's how we prove what is the good and perfect will of God, when we're not being conformed to this world. And we tell our body to take a chill pill. We're gonna do God's will first. We're gonna look for His will first. Let's also look in 1 Peter 4:1. 1 Peter 4:1. Kind of interesting. This verse, I never really noticed it this way at all, actually. 1 Peter 4:1. First Peter 4:1. Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. So just like Jesus was suffering there his whole life and on the cross, and get that same idea. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath what? Ceased from sin. So just a real simple thing there in the last part. You know, if your flesh isn't comfortable, know one thing for certain. You ain't sinning. If your flesh is really uncomfortable, you're going in the opposite direction of sin. You're on your way to finding doing what's right, and one thing's for certain. You ain't sinning if your flesh isn't happy. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You're You're not going down at all. You're heading up. So those that are in a relationship, they want to be together, and they put their needs or wants last. Lastly here, people in a relationship, they do things that please the other person. They do things that please the other person. Remember, all the things that, you know, I started courting Sophie, and it's a lot of things that I started realizing that she liked and wanting to do those things for her. Because I wanted to please her. We're in a relationship, and maybe I really didn't want to do those things at that time, but you know what? It didn't really matter. Let's look at Psalms 48. Psalms 40, verse 8. Psalms 40, verse 8. Starting at verse 7, I guess. Actually, 6 looks good too. Psalms 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hath thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. We start, you know, I really wasn't, before I got saved, you know, the Bible really wasn't that interesting. But afterwards, got saved, you wanted to see what is it that pleases God? What is it that He desires? We started looking for those things in the Bible. Started realizing what it was that He likes. And figuring out ways how we could please Him. Also in Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. It says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Says, you know, I saw your words, and they were like joy to me. I loved them. I was eating them up. They were great. And that's how people that are in a relationship with Christ should be towards the Bible. Should be a delight to them, a joy to them. And also in 1 John 5, my dad would always, someone was ever, me or anyone else was ever having doubts about their salvation, he'd call this the salvation test right here. 1 John 5. John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him, have to look at this really close because it's kind of funny how it's worded here. And every one that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if we're in relationship with Christ, we love other people. We love our siblings in Christ. We love our brethren in Christ. We'd rather be with a Christian than with a non-believer. And also goes on to say, there's some more tests here. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. And we know that we love them. If we love God and we love God, we know that we love God by the second part here and keep His commandments. So when we like to keep God's laws, then we know that, you know, we love the brethren, and we know that, then we know we're saved. Verse 3 as well. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So God is pleased when we love the brethren. Watch out for them, so that people in relationship do. And you started maybe courting your wife or whatever, spouse, you started to accept the people that they love too, you know? Like, oh, this is my sister or this is my brother. And you just like, oh, you know, great to see you. Start asking them questions and trying to get them to get to know them better, because you know that that person is really important to your future spouse there that you have a relationship with. So all I'm asking is, you know, is our relationship real? Is it real or is it a robotic religion? Let's look here in James 1:27. Two more passages here. James 1:27. The really famous one about religion. I think it might even be the only one that religion shows up. I don't know about that for sure, but James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The only way we're going to keep ourselves unspotted from the world and have love for other people that can't give us anything in return is when we have a real relationship. There's no way we're going to have a real religion without a real relationship. It's impossible to have. Let's finish up here in Philippians 1:10. Philippians 1:10. Is it real? Relationship. Or is it, are we just, maybe we just kind of backing up and losing our love and just kind of going through the motions of how we see other church members act and behave and kind of take all their words and a little bit of Bible and kind of mix it up and just kind of, we say the right things and it sounds right, and we're not too much different than the guy sitting in front of us or behind us in our pew, but it's just robotic. It's not real. And we need to get back to how we used to be. Philippians 1:10 says, that ye may approve all things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and with offense till the day of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that those of us that are saved, that we would be sincere, that we wouldn't have anything fake in us, and because our relationship with you is real, and I pray that we wouldn't acting robotically like those in the world are that don't have a relationship with you. They've never been connected. But if there's anyone here that hasn't been connected with you yet, they haven't been made nigh to you through the blood, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day that they get saved. Bless the second message as well, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.